So speaking of Sarah Sprouse, we have the answer to the question. Would you mind letting her answer it before we move on? Since it's, I'm segueing from Sarah Sprouse to Sarah Sprouse. So Sarah, I'll give you your handouts out to the board. Sarah researched the question. And do you need your copy back since I have all of them?
Yeah, that would be really nice.
So I said, I'll take care of this, Sarah, and then I make her do it. So pass these down, guys. Thank you.
As I indicated, the piece that I was speaking about regarding the math coursework and the language arts English coursework is just one aspect when you talk about the options in. Further in this book of regulations are the specific requirements for each certificate area. And the specific requirements for the professional and technical education, which is to what we were referring, you asked, all they have to have is some level of degree and professional experience, and the answer to that is no. But I wanted to verify that it goes for all the options. All of the options have to, with the exception of someone that goes through an approved completer program in that trade, they have to also meet 12 credits of professional education coursework, and that's defined here, that looks at how to plan, deliver, assess instruction, providing reading, writing, and mathematic literacy instruction relevant to the career area, managing effective classroom and minimizing risks, and differentiating instruction to accommodate special needs students. So there is 12 additional coursework requirements for these individuals.
What did you say?
12 credits, not 12 courses.
I'm sorry, yes, thank you. It's been a long morning.
It does lead one to ask the question, if they can complete 12 credits of those sorts, why couldn't they pass the praxis?
I can't answer that question.
It's a good question.
It also raises the question, if they're supposed to provide reading, writing, and math literacy instruction to their students, but they cannot pass the praxis tests in reading or math, which are set at a low level, why do we think that they will be able to provide this instruction to their students?
It's hard. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was talking out of turn. I apologize. I went, did you guys take the praxis? It's hard. It's
good.
A challenge.
Good.
And so I hear everything you're saying, but you're asking for someone to come teach someone on plumbing and to take the praxis that a teacher goes for 4 years before taking. So keep that in mind, or we will not have anyone teaching our kids how to be an auto mechanic.
When do most of our candidates take the praxis?
Most of our candidates take the praxis before receiving a certificate.
Yeah. Some in the third or fourth year. Some do wait that long to take it.
Most take it before they actually get in. But anyway.
Okay,
Dr. Right. I think my questions are answered by this information. And I also recognize there are reasons that the praxis may be difficult. I just want to say to this board that specific accommodations for specific disabilities are not allowed on the praxis, and that may be one reason that you want to have another path. So I'm cool with this now.
Okay. There had been several people with either objections or questions. I'm wondering if they're sufficiently answered at this point for us to move forward with publishing.
I just have one concern that I want to note. Again, I'm in complete agreement with having these type of special skills professionals come into our schools. I think it's awesome. My concern is that, not to bring back up a long lengthy discussion that we already had with PG County Schools, but when you have systems that display toxic cultures, if it's not clear, and I think this is pretty clear, but I also think some of the language can be shored up, to ensure and make sure that these professionals do not be allowed to teach other things other than the specific items for what they have been called to do. And I'm not suggesting that you would know that or I would know that. I just think it's a very slippery slope if the language is not shored up, if we don't have it in there.
I can appreciate that. And what I need to share, again, this is the book that governs all certification. And we're now flip-flopping between chapters. So we're back to what I originally came with those requirements. And to get certified in any other certificate area, English, math, science, social studies, any one of the science derivatives, you have to begin with the basics of a bachelor's degree. This doesn't have that same requirement. So you cannot add an endorsement or another certificate area onto this certificate unless you have met the requirements of that. And that's true for any of our other certificates. You can't add an endorsement without meeting the requirements in one way or another.
I get that completely.
Okay.
I'm just trying to play it out in real time, particularly for some of the school districts I have visited where, how can I say this without, I'm just going to say it, where you have a shortage of teachers and you're just trying to get somebody in the class and that sort of thing. And so you grab, you know, so-and-so to go and teach this particular course that day or what have you. If there's not language within the regulations of a non-bachelor's requirement, we got that. But if there are not certain regulations or language within this particular discussion, that could happen. And I'm just saying it's a concern. I'm not saying it will.
I think it can happen. I think you raise a concern, and that would be an entirely different discussion point about substitutes and or class coverage, because these are the certification requirements. The conditional certificate is another certificate, and then having substitute policies at locals is a whole nother ball of wax that isn't being addressed with anything I've brought today.
Dr. Snyder, do you have a final word on this?
I mean, look, the basic problem from my point of view is that teaching of any kind is a practice. Just like flying a plane, you wouldn't expect a pilot to get a pilot's license of any kind just by studying a book. No matter how many courses, they have to get in a simulator and actually they have to get in a real plane and be supervised. I don't think it's beyond this state's capacity to figure out a short but real supervised practice teaching experience for everyone who goes into our classroom. Whether they have 12 credits of this or that, and we all know about the quality controls of credits in these circumstances, they're all over the lot. What my simple concern is, can these people teach? And nothing in this reg assures me that anyone has seen them teach before we have them in front of real children. So I know this is part of a bigger issue, and it's the kind of thing we'll be working on and are working on. So I'm okay to publish it, but there's a fundamental principle here that I'm not comfortable with at all.
Understood, and I can sign on with that, both publishing, pushing ahead, and having this wrapped into the bigger conversation. Unless anyone has anything else, we already have a motion and a second. No final comments. All in favor of publishing, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions?
No.
One abstention.
And one opposed.
One opposed. I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got it.
Enough?
Yes. Okay. For the record, Dr. Steiner abstaining and Dr. Finn opposing. Okay, so now back to committee reports. If there are
thank
any
you,
more.
Thank you, Sarah, for your flexibility.